So what I have tonight, we're going to talk about doing the works of Jesus. We're helping Michelle out. Where did Michelle go? She got a count offering. We're going to talk about doing the works of Jesus. We're going to talk about, you know, healing and how to minister healing to people and those things. We're starting with that tonight. And so, it's important to me that anything that I'm going to do, that I know that I can do it, that I should do it, that God's authorized me to do it. So, and we're going to talk about the, instead of just general sort of, yes, you know, we're supposed to heal people. I want to see it in the scripture. The reason I ask you to move is because we're going to work together here tonight in this. We're not doing a discovery study, but I want us to work together. And, so I'm going to need that microphone. I want us to work together. And I also am aware that people do tune in by live streaming that can't be here or for whatever reason aren't here. And so I want them to be able to get as much as they can, not just completely uninclude them. So if you do have a Bible, and I'm asking them to put them up on the screen, I just want to start tonight in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. We're going to read a number of scriptures tonight. And the writer here says, well, first of all, before we do, you can go ahead and be turning there. I just realized it's Tom and Rhonda's anniversary tonight. Where's Tom? Did he leave out?
37.
How many years?
37.
47 years? 37 years. Wow, good for you. Well, happy anniversary, Tom, wherever you may be. I'm sure Rhonda will make it a happy anniversary for Tom, and so we don't even need to tell him, but we need to tell you happy anniversary. Anyway, I don't know what that was about. Acts chapter 2 and the New King, let's put the New King James up first. Is that, okay, we'll see, that's the problem, I'm looking at the next one coming. Okay, here we go, the New King James, and it says this, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man," now y'all, did y'all notice that? A man, doesn't say God. Though he was God, I like how Luke emphasizes the fact that he's a man. And we all need to remember that, because when we start talking about doing the works of Jesus, I'm telling you, quickly, we like to separate ourselves from him. We like to identify with Christ, you know, in certain ways, but then when it starts getting like kind of, there's a demand put on us, or we start seeing something that's out of our comfort zone, we like to go, okay, well, you know, I'm glad he took my sins on the cross, but now you're talking about doing his works, you know, let me not identify with him. But notice it says here, a man attested by God. So he was a man attested by God. What do we think that means? I didn't even hear anybody. Called? Proved? To God proved? Yeah. It's attested, like God approved of him, or God, in fact, we'll see in another translation. It's like a God approved of him, or God said, hey, this is legit, legitimized him, attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Now, this is a really key scripture that we're starting with here, because there's a lot in this. A man, all of us here are part of mankind. A man, so we all qualify in that sense. We're all part of mankind. Attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which... Notice this is really a big key, and this is what takes the pressure off of you and me as we talk about doing the works of Jesus. Because notice what it says, attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him. Notice it doesn't say which he did. Because if it said he was a man who did them, then you and me, suddenly we're just... throw in the towel, because we know we can't do anything. You know, we know us, and we know we can't do anything. But notice what it says. It says there's a man, he's attested by God by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him. So let me just say this to you. If God could do miracles, wonders, and signs through Jesus, is there a chance that he could do miracles, wonders, and signs through you? Because who's doing it? God is the one doing it. So we're not putting the pressure on us. We're just saying God's going to do something. Perhaps God could do something. And notice he does it through us. Say through. So he does it through us. So we, you know, here we see this again and again and again in scripture, particularly in the New Testament. God, for some reason, has married himself to mankind. He works through his people. He works through people. How shall they hear without a preacher? There's something about God working with, through people. And so you see this. These miracles, wonders, and signs were done by God through him. Do you see that? Through a man. Does everybody see that and understand that? And how many of you recognize, yeah, I'm part of mankind? If you're part of mankind and you know God, then there's a chance for you. And look what it is. Miracles, wonders, and signs. So there's a lot there. That's awesome. Okay. Now we'll read it in another translation. I think the New Living, bringing it up. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed. So that word attested, here's what the New Living says, publicly endorsed. So God made a public endorsement of Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. Now, why do you think that he needed to be publicly endorsed? Because he needed to be, you know, this is just like God said, well done. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Got my words mixed up. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He's publicly endorsing him. He's saying, this is someone who's come from me. This is someone who's from me. This is one who's representing me. And in that same way, you'll see as we go through and talk about us doing the works of Jesus, it's the same reason God is endorsing us. That's part of what is happening. It's not the only reason for miracles, signs, and wonders. It's certainly not the only reason, and it may not be the biggest reason. But it's certainly a reason that God, because we see it here, he publicly endorsed Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, he publicly, as we go along, I want you to notice that, attested, he will publicly endorse you. He will publicly endorse that you belong to him, that you're his people, that you represent him, that you're his ambassador, that he sent you as a minister of reconciliation. He will publicly endorse you. So we're just laying the scriptural foundation for this. That's why I'm belaboring all of this, okay? So now let's go over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 10. And it says this, do you not believe, this is Jesus speaking, and we don't have time to go through all the different, you know, parts of John 14 and read. I always want to, but I'm just limiting ourselves here. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Now, I just want to say this to you. How many of you tonight, you believe that you are in the Father and the Father's in you? Isn't this, this is part of our identity in Christ. In Christ, we're in him, he's in us. Isn't that right? So here we go. Do you not believe that God's in us and we're in God in the fact that we're in Christ? We're together with him. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. So notice again, he's not doing something and speaking in his own authority. This is, again, good news for me and you. Because we're not doing things in our own authority. Because anytime you step out to do something, anytime you step out to let God work through you, to lay hands on the sick, or to do any of the things that we're going to be talking about you doing, there's that question that the enemy brings to you, and he says, who do you think you are? Has anybody ever had that? You ever went to minister to somebody, and there's that little question of who do you think you are? And then that's usually followed by the whole litany of reasons why you are incapable and unqualified and not fit to be used by God. Because of all, you know, it might be as real as images of your past, or it might be a reminder of how weak in yourself that you are, how inadequate you are. Just, you know, that, come on, we're all too very much acquainted with our humanness, you know, our shortcoming side. But he didn't do it in his own authority, which is good, because none of this that we're going to talk about has you doing anything in your own authority. So let's just let go of that. For I do not speak on my own authority. He didn't even speak on his own authority. But the Father, this is so key, the Father who dwells in me does the works. Y'all remember we just read that in Acts 2, that it was the Father who was doing, it was God in him doing the works. Well, here, this is the key. The Father in him did the works. This is Jesus we're talking about, y'all. Jesus, it looked like if you came up on, you know, if you were there the day when Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, or if you were there the day that he was with the guy that had the withered hand who stretched forth his hand, you know, you were there that day at the pool of Bethesda when the guy was healed, you would have left there and you would have said, Jesus healed that man. Jesus raised that man from the dead. Jesus healed that withered hand. That's what you would have said had you been looking at it from the outside. But Jesus knew that it wasn't him doing it. It was the Father in him that was doing the works. And that's what you and me need to understand. What we're going to be talking about is not you doing something. It's you working with and allowing and yielding to God to work through you. Say through me.
Through me.
So see, this just takes the pressure off. Because this is our assignment in all of this, is to let God work through us. It's to let the God in us to do, allow him to do his work, not us do it. So there's nothing, there doesn't have to be anything special about you. You don't have some special touch. You don't have some, it's not something like these hands right here. Oh, these hands are so special that they have this special touch, or some weird kind of thing that we all can fall prey to if we let ourselves. It's not about any of that. It's just about, this is a flesh body. These flesh bodies walk around on the earth. God came and he lives inside of these flesh bodies, and he wants to use them as his instruments to minister his power, his healing, do his works here in the earth. And we yield to him. It's not us doing it. It's him. And that's real key, because that keeps you straight. That keeps you out of pride. It keeps you in humility, which is great, because you got to be humble to have grace, and all this works by grace. And it keeps you also out of condemnation. It keeps you from drawing back. It really thwarts the plan of the enemy to intimidate you. Baby Grace likes me. Just baby Grace. So You understand why this is so important and why we belabor this. Now, I want you to look at the people next to you. I want you to look at somebody and tell them, God wants to work through you.
God wants to work through you.
God wants to work through you. Through you. Through you. It's not going to be you doing it. So tonight and all this that we're going to talk about in this training we're going to do, it's not about you doing it. You have a part, but your part is yieldedness, and your part is obedience, but not you. You don't have to make anything happen. Just say this, say, the pressure's off.
The pressure's off.
And I think anytime we start talking about, you know, you stepping out to do something, immediately the pressure just goes way up, you know? It's like, you know, show me the door. Let me get out of here. Why did I come tonight? But the pressure is off. It's not on you. And I don't want you to let the pressure come on you. Because the more the pressure is on you, the less you're in the flow with him. You know? What did Paul say? It's when I'm at my weakest that his grace is the most. And when you're recognizing this is nothing of me. This is just him working through me. So that's really important. So let's go back. I'm going to start again in verse 10. It says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? So we've already established we got that part. We're born again. We're now in Christ. We're in the Father and the Father's in us. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Well, that's good. This isn't about us being given our word or our characters in question. Our spiritual maturity is on trial. You know, here it's we're going to be attested by our own, you know, Christian witness of how well that we've withstood and stood for Christ. It's none of that is involved in this. And that's sad, because that I think is what the church has adopted, this idea that it's based on, you know, you're Christian. We have to measure how good of a Christian you've been before we can see if God could work through you. You know, I need prayer, but I don't want you to pray for me because you're not quite the Christian that I think you should be. Or you hadn't been in this long enough to really, to really have built up quite a resume, spiritually speaking. And so, I need to get somebody who's really seasoned and let them, because then, they really have an in with God. You ever thought that? It's interesting because we got a prayer request this week. Now, this is outside the church. This is a family matter. We got a prayer request this week about something going on in my extended family. Y'all really need to pray. That's mostly, I never hear from them. But y'all really need to pray. It's just funny that when something's going on, that we're the people who really need to pray. Because you're looking for somebody who really needs to pray. They're looking for people who, you understand? It's like you're, and it's all, if we could just get her over there to pray, then maybe something will happen. And it's really, you're putting stock in people more than you are in God. So I just want you to let's dismiss that way of thinking and understand what he's saying here. So I'm not speaking on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. I remember when this really came alive to me, it was just like a weight just slid off of me, because I didn't have to work something up. It wasn't through my own struggling of God. It wasn't any of that. It's just letting him use me. That's it. Okay, now we're in verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Then verse 12. Most assuredly I... Now, interesting, he starts with most assuredly. That's kind of a... What does that mean? What does most assuredly mean? I'm telling you the truth. This is sure thing for sure. It's a sure, for sure. This is the truth. This is what he's saying. Interesting that he prefaces what he's about to say by, not that everything else he told him was a lie, but he's wanting, what he's going to tell him is so grand and so contrary to the way people think that he had to tell him before he even told him, he had to go ahead and tell him, listen, what I'm telling you is true. You probably aren't going to believe it's true. You're going to be tempted to doubt what I'm about to say. It's human nature to dismiss what I say as not being the truth, but it's true. Let me tell you before I even tell you, it's true. What you're about to hear is going to challenge you, but it's the truth. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Let's just stop right there. Most assuredly, for sure. Listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. He who believes in me. Now notice, what's the qualification here? Believing in him. Now, you're here tonight. I'm assuming everybody in here believes in him. How many of you in here tonight, you believe in Jesus? I believe in Jesus. I believe you do too. He who does what? Who believes in me. That's the qualifier. Notice there's not a little asterisk there. And then it's, a footnote at the bottom. And then there's a really long list of qualifications. Does your Bible have a really long list of qualifications? You've been born again 17 years. You've spoke with the tongues of men and of angels. you understand, you've memorized, two-thirds of the New Testament. You researched this and that. You did your dissertation on, the eschatological whatever of the Nephilim. I don't know. It's none of that is in there. It just says, he who believes in me. That's me and you. We believe in him. That's easy. A believer? That's good. So he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. That's awesome. And we're going to talk more about that. But notice that it doesn't say the works that I do, he can do. He's establishing the expectation. He knows he's going to go to the cross, be resurrected, and ascend to the Father, send the Holy Spirit. This is prior to all that. This is you know, John, this is the Last Supper. This is the last big talk, you know. And at that time, he's saying to them, this is what you're going to be doing. This is what you will do. You who believe in me, this is what you will do. Not you can do. Not you'll eventually get to a place where you can earn the right to. Not, you know, all these other kinds of things that we've inserted in there. Let's just let the scripture speak for itself. The works that I do, he will do also. I just want to kind of insert here. You know, a lot when we're doing the Discovery Bible studies and in the fall when we were talking about unreached peoples and we talked about persons of peace and some of this, and I was telling you a lot of the things that are going on in other parts of the world and how the gospel flame is burning bright and spreading quickly, and people are, there's amazing miracles, signs and wonders happening. One reason that that is happening is because people take the Bible and they read the Bible for what it says. And they don't have the benefit that you and me have of all the unbelief that has been preached to us for generations. Because they haven't heard all the reasons why it can't be done, why it doesn't really mean what it says. They just read it and they see here, if I believe, then I will do what he did. Now, the next step is, well, what did he do? This is all that they have to go on, and they look and see what he did, and they see how he did it, and they go and do it. They don't even have people teaching them to do it. They just get the Bible and say, okay. So, you know, maybe it would be helpful if we hadn't had all the teaching we've had. It says, the works that I do, he will do also. And what? And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Regularly, you know, that's a question people will ask, particularly if you read the scripture. Well, Susie, what do you think the greater works are? And here's my response to that. Look, when you do all of his works, then we'll talk about greater works. After you want to check off all, so you've done all his works. So once you get through all them, then we can debate what greater works are. But let's don't get caught up there. Let's just focus on what he said. Believe in him, do his works. That'll keep us busy. And then he'll throw in the greater works. He doesn't define for me what the greater works are. I've heard people say all kinds of things about what they are, and maybe they're all of those. But it doesn't really matter. We could just fill our days with doing his works. Doing his works. Okay, so now let's discover what the works are. What are the works of Jesus? This is important to me. This is important because when we see verses like Acts 2:22, where we started, where it talked about Jesus attested a man, you know, tested by God, and he did miracles, signs, and wonders. And then we start immediately putting our spin on what those miracles, what those signs, what those wonders are. I'm a big, big proponent of let's let the Word of God interpret the Word of God. If the Bible says his works, let's find out what the Bible says his works are, because those are the things that we're to be doing. So that's really important. That puts me on sure footing. And I like to be on sure footing. I don't like to be like, well, you know, Pastor Matt said that he thinks that we're blah, blah, blah. You know, Pastor Matt, he's a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. But I don't want to live my life just based on what Pastor Matt said and some, you know, idea that somebody had. I want us all to, you know, when you're standing and you're looking at a situation, you need to know, thus says the Lord. That's what we need, isn't it? And I think we've been too conditioned to be like, well, thus says my favorite TV preacher, you know, or some other thing. We need, what does the Bible say? All right. Where are we? We're finding out what his works are. Luke chapter 7. Now this is when you I'm going to need your help. Luke chapter 7 verses, we're going to read, what I want you to do is read it. If you have a Bible, if you've got, you put it up here, your Luke chapter 7 verses 20 through 22. I want you to scoot over next to somebody. Get you a partner, and I want y'all to read those three verses. Luke chapter 7, verses 20, 21, and 22, those three verses. And I want you to tell me what you think the works of Jesus are. Luke chapter 20, verses 20 through 22. It tells you right there. I want you to be ready. And when you think you know the answer, let me know. And what we're looking in this, the question is, what are the works of Jesus? All right, who's ready to give me a response? Who's ready? Who's ready to help me? Larry, are you ready? Oh, we got Kimberly. Kimberly's ready.
The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed.
Did y'all hear that? How many of y'all agree those are the works of Jesus? All right, so, I mean, it's there in the Bible, right? We're letting the Bible define the Bible. So, the blind see. Do y'all recall a time in Scripture where the blind saw? Do we have verification? This is Jesus telling his story, but do we have accounts?
Yes.
Yeah, we have accounts. Anybody remember any of the accounts? Blind Bartimaeus, and then the guy with the spit that went spit and made the mud. I was thinking of that yesterday. Put the mud on his eyes. So that's at least two cases there. The lame walk. Anybody remember a situation with the lame walking? The guy that came down through the roof, and then the guy at Pool Bethesda. That's right. We see those in the ministry of Jesus. There we go. All right. How about the lepers cleansed? The 10 lepers. Yes, and then the other. If it be your will, I know you can do this. Y'all remember these stories? You remember them? Y'all heard about them? Okay. And then the deaf here. Do we know of a certain case? There was a deaf and mute boy. Yeah. There was a cast of spirit out of him. Yeah. The dead are raised. Y'all know any cases of that? Lazarus. Talitha Kumi, I call her. The boy at name. Jairus' daughter. Yeah. So we know that. So the dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Did we see that? Yeah, there were thousands and thousands of those who had the gospel preached to them. And maybe one of the poorest of all was a man named Zacchaeus who was up in a tree. He may not have been poor in the world's eyes, but he was such a poor man. And he had the gospel preached to him. So you look at this. Everything that's listed here that Jesus is telling his disciples, you go tell John. John wants to know if I'm the one or shall we look for another. You go tell him what you're seeing, and he names these things. And he's just saying to them, reminding them what they themselves have seen. They were with him when he did these works. So they knew what his works were. They're telling his works. Okay, y'all, how did we get into this? We got into this from John. John got us into this by him saying, if you believe that you're going to do, you will do my works. So you know what we just read was a list of the works that you will do. Because y'all all told me you believed. And so these are the works you'll do. Now this is when, you know, again, this is when we like to disconnect. But that was Jesus. But that's why we started with, he was a man. And it wasn't Jesus, it was God doing it through him. He said, if you would believe. All those who believe. And he told us, look, you might not realize this, but it's not actually me doing these works. It's the Father in me doing these works. Now I'm going to tell you the truth. You're going to do these same works you've seen me doing. But it's really not me doing them. It's the Father in me. You understand? This is the truth. This is how it works. So it's not Arlene healing anybody. It's the Father that lives and dwells within Arlene working through her. So there's no glory for you. There's no you a big shot. There's no, you know, none of the accolades for you. You're nothing but a pipe. That's all you are. Just a pipe. You're a funnel. And the Father in you is doing the works. And what is he doing? Well, he's doing these. Now, you could. So he answered and said that. But isn't it interesting? Go to verse 21, if y'all will, there. 21, it says, "And at that very hour, he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. And to many blind, he gave sight." So that was what was happening when these men came from John the Baptist that were sent. You don't know the whole story unless you are aware, you know, of this, unless you know what Luke 7 says. But John the Baptist had sent his followers over to ask these questions of him. Ask this question, are you the coming one or do we look for another? And when they came, what did they find him doing? They found him doing these works. Curing many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind, he gave sight. That's what he's saying. And so then he says, so they see him doing these things, and then he turns to them and says, now you go telling these things that you're seeing. These blind, the deaf, all these works are the works he was doing. So he was doing them. He gave them a proof of what he was doing there. So these are the same works he said we would do. Now, okay, so now we see that. Now let's go to Mark 16. Just tonight, just giving you through the scripture, the biblical basis for what we're going to be teaching. You need to know what you're standing on. Because it's not magic, people, and it's not hocus pocus, and it's not I wish it would happen, and it's not, you know, it's not if I can just say it right with the right tone of voice and I have the right crescendo and the crowds are singing. And it's none of that. None of that. It's just based on God said it. And it's his word, just like the same word that gives us John 3:16, which we've staked our eternities on. The same word says these things. Mark 16, verse 17. I'm going to just read all this in the New Living. It says, these miraculous signs will accompany. What does accompany mean? Go along with, come along with, accompany, go with. If I said, I'm going to accompany you, you know, to the store. You let me do what? And we'd go together. You'd figure I'm riding shotgun. That's we'd get it. Yeah, here we go. All right. These miraculous signs will accompany, so they go along with those who believe. And I really just like that idea that they accompany. They just come along with me. They just come along with you. It's not something that I carry. It's not something I work up. It's not a big struggle. It's not a bag of tricks. You know, it's not something that I maneuver and pull. It's not even something I pull down from heaven. We got to pray it down. We got to do all these kind of ideas we have. I just want you to see the words the Bible uses. These things, they just go along with us. They accompany us. These signs will accompany. New King James says follow. So they accompany us, I guess, one step behind us. But they go along with us. Wherever we go, miraculous signs are going along with us. Now, the really kind of sad part of this is the plan of God, and signs have been following along with us, but we've never tapped into them. We've never made a demand on them. We've never let them have a place. We've never turned around and said, okay. You know what I'm saying? We've never interacted with them or activated them or however you want to say it. We've never, by never, I mean in general in the body of Christ, is something we've dismissed. I know, obviously, never is not the right word. But here they are. They're accompanying us. So I want you to think about that. They're accompanying you. Now look at your neighbor and say, these signs accompany you.
These signs accompany you.
Yeah, tell them they follow you. They follow you. They follow you. That's what's following you. You ever feel like you're being followed? This is why. You looking over your shoulder? There's signs. Miraculous signs are falling. Okay. All right. They accompany us. They go with us. This is, you know, when you see believers, you know what you should see with believers? Signs. You ever had somebody come to your house and visit you, or and they come in and they brought somebody with them? You know, they show up and they got somebody with them. Well, when you they come, they were the person you were expecting, but maybe you weren't expecting this other person, but there they are. Now you got to feed them. Your piece just got a little smaller. You know what I mean? You were going to have cut it in half, but now it's in thirds. You know, it's hard to cut a chicken leg, but you just give up your chicken leg. That's what you have to do. Because somebody came. Well, that's what it is. But maybe you wouldn't expect to see them, but there they are. They accompanied them. There they are. That's how these signs are. They're with us. And maybe people don't expect to see them, but if you're getting me, you're getting them, because they accompany me. You know? That's what's coming along with me. That's what comes with me. All right. Now, then he starts to tell them about the signs. What are these signs? He's defining signs here again. I think it's important that we let Jesus define the signs. They will cast out demons in my name. Now, that doesn't just mean that you find someone who's completely demon-possessed, though that is definitely part of it. But there are demonic influences all around. There's demonic influences over there, things that are just strongholds in people's thinking. We talked about several weeks ago on a Sunday morning about darkness and how the devil's whole plot for people is to keep them in darkness. He's blinded people's eyes. That's demonic influence. So there's a lot. I tell you, there's a whole big ministry in just letting the signs that follow you get rid of the demonic influences over people that you encounter. You ever been around people that are like, by nature, they're like agitated and their problems and all that, but somehow or another, when you're around, they're peaceful. They're calmer. It's because the one in you, the one that packed the signs in your backpack, is there's an influence over that that's going on. So there you go. Cast out demons. Now it says you just get rid of them. Not just in take authority over them, but you cast them out. Hurl them out. And I anytime I think of casting out demons, I always think about them pigs. In the Gadarenes, on the hills of the Gadarenes, there was this big, I don't think they're flocks. What are pigs? Herds. Herd of pigs. And Jesus cast out that one guy that had a legion of demons, 2,000 demons, cast them out, and they were hurled out in such a way that when they hit the pigs were running off the, you know, they hit the pigs running. The pigs were standing there snorting around, and the next thing we know, the pigs are off the cliff. Because that was the force with which they were hurled out. They didn't just go over and get in the pigs, and then the pigs are like, you know, and then and then they moseyed over to the cliff. No, it's like, I think it would have just been a sight to see them. Hollywood, in my mind, I don't know that Hollywood's ever done this depiction. The demons hit the pigs and hurl them off the, it would have been amazing to see. I don't even know. I don't even know how it would have looked, but amazing. But that's the hurling that they were done. It hurled the pigs. And pigs, y'all, pigs are, I mean, our neighbor, Bridgen, he raised a pig every year, to, you know, getting this for meat. Those were big boys, man. And they smelled. There's a pig somewhere near us. The wind gets to blowing just right where we live. Wind get to going, and I smell somebody. Somebody's got one. Somebody's got a pig. I smell it every now and then. All right, now we're going through the signs. Now we're going, these signs that are coming. It's casting out demons in my name. So hurling demons out. That sounds like a lot of fun. I lost most of you there. I don't want to be hurling no demons. I'm leaving the demons alone. Yeah, somebody's got to do something about the demons. And they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. You don't necessarily go out looking for snakes like, you know, some churches practice. That's not at all what we're talking about. It's talking about at times, well, y'all remember Paul. We saw the example of this, Paul, when he was shipwrecked and they were building a fire and there was a snake in the serpent in the fire and the snake came out and latched hold of Paul and bit him, but it didn't kill him. And he slung it off. So he didn't go looking for a snake. But the idea is there's this supernatural protection that's involved. Because it goes on to say, and if they drink anything poisonous, not that we're doing that on purpose. Nobody brought any chlorine in here tonight we're going to drink, right? No. It's not about anything weird and wacky like that. It's just this supernatural protection. Because we live in a world that's full of trouble. And for them, the world was very hostile, particularly. This is if they drink anything deadly, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. It's the lay hands on the sick in the King James. And then it says, when the Lord had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven, sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples, what did they do? They went everywhere and preached. And guess what the Lord did? What did the Lord do? He worked with them, it says in King James or New King James. And here it says he worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Y'all, this happened. This happened. And this still happens today. It's just you and me don't see a huge amount of it. We see some of it, but not a huge amount of it. But I want you to know, there are places even right now on earth, like I said, those people that just read the Bible and haven't had all the teaching to mess them up. They haven't read all the 42 reasons why God actually doesn't always heal. They haven't been messed up with it. And they just read it and they just take it at face value. And the Lord worked with them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. How about that? Now let's go over to Matthew 10. And got a little assignment for you over in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, I'll read to you. It says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and he gave them authority. So Jesus said he didn't speak on his own authority, but the authority of the one who sent him. And that's interesting because then now he's giving them authority. Whose authority do you think he's given them? The same authority that he had been using. He gave them authority to do what? To cast out evil spirits. To heal every kind of sickness, of every kind of disease and illness. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to go down to verses 7 and 8. And I want you to read together, you and somebody, read together verses 7 and 8. And I want you to, between the two of you, figure out what he told the disciples, these 12 disciples, when he sent them out. What he sent them out to do. I want to know the specifics of what he sent them out to do. This is Matthew 10, 7 and 8. So tell me one of the things he said. He said, go. Is that what it says? He did say go. He did say go. And that word go mean as you go. But yeah, he did say go. I love that, Rhonda. He said go. Go and do what?
Preach.
Announce to them. Go tell them something. Declare something. Yeah, tell them about the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's the place where God's will. It's God's dominion is. His will is done. The kingdom of heaven. It's the rule of our God. It's near. How near is it?
It's near. It's at hand.
It's at hand. I'm going to tell you this. Anytime you go anywhere, the kingdom is very near because it's within you.
Right.
So the kingdom's all over here tonight. Wherever we go, the kingdom. So we got the signs following us, accompanying us, but within us we have the kingdom. Look what's going on. Y'all you just thought you were going in the store. You don't know what all's going in the store. You were just going in the store. You just needed to get some bananas. pick up some, you know, coffee for in the morning. You didn't know what was going in the store. The kingdom of God was going in the store. Signs, wonders, miracles, they were following you. That's what was going in the store. Is that what you think when you go in the store? Well, y'all, that's not what we think. We think, I hope that they have some bananas that aren't just totally rotted already. And I hope the lines are not too long. And I hope nobody hits my car with a stray buggy while I'm inside. These are the things we're thinking. We're not thinking the kingdom is in us. I'm taking the kingdom of God over by the bananas.
Kingdom of God and aisle five. Kingdom of aisle and aisle five.
That's not what we're thinking.
Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders in the meat department.
This is not how we're thinking, but this is how we should be thinking. Yeah. You go, let's don't raise the dead in the meat department. I could get a little weird there. Okay. All right. So what did we see here? He said, go. What else have we seen? Announce to him the kingdom is near. What else? So he said to heal the sick. Heal the sick. Let's just start right there. Heal the sick. All right. What else? Raise the dead. Do y'all think he meant the spiritually dead? I like that answer. Sure, but I think he also meant the physically dead. Why are you saying, Eddie, you think he meant the physically dead? Because he raised the physically dead. That's right. And then cure those with leprosy. I don't know, some reason that stood out to him at that moment. Maybe that was the hardest cases he'd come across. And cast out them demons. Give freely as you've received. Talked about that on Sunday. Okay? So that's when he sent out the 12. Mark 16 is that command to the whole church. We were covered in that. But we're going back, Matthew 10, we're looking at when he first sent some folks out. The first he sent out were the 12 in Matthew 10. Now, let's go down to Luke 10. Let's go over to Luke 10. And let's see what he did there. Luke 10, verse 1. So we were reading Matthew 10, 1. Now let's go to Luke 10, verse 1. And it says, the Lord now chose, so first he sent out 12. Now he chose 72 other disciples. So we had 12. Now he's up in the game. There was one Jesus. And then there was Jesus plus 12. Now there's Jesus plus 12 plus 72. Some translations say 70. 70 or 72. There they are. So we're multiplying. How much does that make? 1 plus 12, 72. He used to be an accountant. Okay. You need to keep track of the people, Matt, the numbers. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples, and what did he do? He sent them out in pairs to all the towns and places that he planned to visit. And then he gives them instruction, and part of his instruction is in verse 9. What does he say? It's on the screen here. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. So this sounds very familiar to what he told the 12, right? And it sounds very familiar. It sounds similar to what he told all of us to do in Mark 16. And then I'll just read this last verse because I like this one so much. Verse 19, if you keep reading, look, this is after they went, they came back. They were so excited. And I know that feeling to come back. It reminds me of when we had the impact outreaches, you know, that reaches impact. Everybody comes in and let me tell you my story. And let me tell you what God did. And this, you wouldn't even believe. I mean, I remember the day Jason Netzler comes in and there is a dog, this woman's dog who hasn't stood up, much less walked or anything. And what was it? How long had it been? Like a year? Remember the dog and the woman would lift it up so it could use the bathroom? It'd been a long time, like a year or two. And he was like, the dog was, what did you say, 21? It was some crazy. She swore that dog was 20 something years old and she wouldn't believe in Jesus. But when the kingdom came near to the dog and the signs that accompanied Jason hit the dog stood up and walked. And the woman cried out to God and got saved because Jesus killed her doggie. And he, that was the day he came back. We are unleashed, literally bouncing off the walls, crazy, excited. And that's the kind of day where they were when they came in, and they're like saying to Jesus, look, even the demons are subject to us. We hurled them demons off the cliff like you did with the pigs. That's what we've been doing, Jesus. It works. We did it, Jesus. And so he had to calm them down. But then that's when he told him to rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know, or whatever, not that, but he told him just whatever it was. But verse 19, I would still be excited even no matter what he told me. But verse 19, he said, look, I have given you authority. This is why this is all happening. I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. And that's really symbolic of all the work of the enemy. All that came as a result of that serpent of old deceiving Eve and getting one over on Adam and everything that happened. You can walk among all the evil of this world and you can crush it. And nothing will injure you. Nothing. You hear me say that? Nothing, the King James says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. We live in this world where there may be serpents and scorpions. There may be the power of the enemy at hand, but nothing shall by any means hurt you. So here we are. The kingdom is within us. We got signs and wonders accompanying us, following us, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. And in that position, with all of that, we take these hands and we lay them on the sick, wherever we find them. That's what we do. And we're going to talk a lot more in the next few weeks about, you know, what we do, the practical parts. We can share our stories. You can tell your favorite story. We'll share what we've learned together collectively. But I just want you to see tonight from the scripture, this is all based in the word. This is not some new fad. It's not some book, you know, not something I heard on the radio today. This is from the Lord himself. He's the one who gave us this. So I want to learn about it. And he said, we will. We will. We will.